We did it!
We did it! We did
we
it!
We did it!
No!
We did it! We did it! We did it! Right there! Right there!
Ooh! 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 Ooh!
Ooh! Yeah, baby!
In your face!
We did it!
Oh, man!
How did we do it?
I don't have no idea.
I don't understand.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly episode 46 or something. It's Ethan and Weiss here with you once again. We're coming off a New York Giants victory, which is something we haven't been able to say much this season. We'll get into everything, but before we do, you know what we got to do. We got to do the housekeeping. So first things first, go follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Subscribe. Go subscribe on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. We're on everything, guys. So if you're on a computer, you can listen. If you're on an iPhone, you can listen. If you're on an Android, you can listen. If you're on a Kindle, you can listen. So please hit the subscribe button on whatever app you're using. It helps the show grow every week, and we're trying to hit that goal by the end of the season. So every subscription helps. I guess final reminder, guys, check your fantasy teams if you're in the league. My team's not doing so hot. Weiss, I don't think yours is either. But it's tough. We're an 18-team league. But go ahead, check the roster. Make a playoff push if you can. That's about it. Let's get into everything. The Giants won. And I feel like let's start with this. Because we're gonna talk about the game. I am upset that they won. And I know a lot of people say you shouldn't root for your team to lose. But at this point in the season, I think it's totally okay to rationalize a top draft pick with just losing. And I think you feel a little bit differently, so I'm going to let you speak on it.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think I'm not rooting for them to lose, but I'm not rooting for them to win either.
Okay, that's fair.
I just want to see not embarrassing football. You got to give
which
credit.
Is still tough.
Yeah, exactly. It's still a lot to ask for this season, I've seen. But listen, I always say, like, look. Fans, of course, we want them to lose. We want them to get that top pick. We want, you know, people to be held accountable and, you know, a new regime to come in. Everybody wants that, of course. And obviously a victory over the Chiefs is not going to change that. But players don't think like fans. They're not going to tank. They're playing for their jobs. Janoris Jenkins, obviously a lot of talk about him probably not being back.
Right.
He went out there, played at that all-pro level. And when you there's talent there and they play with effort, you're going to get performances like you saw Sunday, and kudos to the Giants. But at the same time, the Chiefs are frauds. They are not who I thought they were.
Can I say that?
Sure.
If you're a person out there who you root for a team, they lose, you bet on a team, they lose, you and I are going to be friends, because I jumped on the Chiefs bandwagon at 5-1, and they have been total dog shit since.
Yeah, they have been really bad, and it boggles my mind. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the Giants' defense. They played really well, especially in that secondary. But, man, you have Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends in the league. Tyreek Hill, one of the best deep threats in the league. One of the best weapons in the league. And you have this young stud rookie running back in Kareem Hunt, and 9 points, that's it. And I know people want to point at Alex Smith and say maybe it's time to put in, you know, the Pat Mahomes. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, it just seems like they went back to previous years, you know, in this Alex Smith era where it's like just throwing it short.
Right.
Whereas early in the season, they would open up the playbook for him and really let him kind of air it out. So, yeah, really crazy performance by the Chiefs. But kudos to the Giants. You just have to accept the fact that, you know, players are not going to...
They're not going to quit.
Yeah, it's just the nature of the beast.
Well, some players are going to quit. And it's tough because there's guys who, like what we saw, like the lack of effort out of Jenkins. Like I mentioned it on a previous podcast, right? With his sort of contract and his general talent level, like that we saw last year, and we saw flashes of it this past Sunday.
It's like a premier position. Like, you can't just...
It's a premier position, and that contract is immovable. He knows he's safe. He knows he's going to be on the team next year, and I ranted about that in a previous podcast. He's going to be on the team. There are other guys who they have incentives in their contract, right? They're trying to hit incentives. Maybe they're filling in for another injured player and they're trying to secure a roster position for themselves next year, because that's really the only reason to play at this point, because you're out of the playoff run and you want to make a name for yourself. So there's going to be guys in the defense that are trying no matter what.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you got guys like, you know, Janoris Jenkins is one of the kind of the big name when we talk about effort, but you also have guys like Devon Kennard.
Yeah.
Who going into a contract
year.
Jay Bromley, contract year. So they're, you know, they're playing for something more than just, you know, the, you know, I want to say the cliche, you know, name on the front of their jersey. They're playing for more than just that, more than just the logo.
They're playing for their livelihood.
Yeah, playing for the pockets, you know, playing for the dollar bills. So you're going to see stuff like this. But at the same time, I know people are sort of freaking out about it. This team is still bad. They did only score 12 points.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, you know, so let's, if the defense starts holding the next, you know, 5-6 opponents under 10 points, then you know what? Fuck it. They're going to go 8-8 probably. It's not going to happen every week. It's just the nature of the beast. You're going to get these type of performances, and you know, who knows how many of these we'll see the rest of the way.
All right, let's just get right into it, and we'll circle back and we'll talk more about the game. Mm-hmm. But since you brought it up in only like a half facetious manner about this team finishing 8-8, yeah. They have three division games left. Mm-hmm. Four division games left. Division games are weird because. Yep. Anything like, okay, if you follow the league, like division games are always weird. The opponents know each other really, really well. And just weird things happen, right? So they're playing against the Redskins twice. They got a game against the Eagles and they got a game against the Cowboys. Neither the Redskins nor the Cowboys are looking good at this point. No. It's very, very possible this team rattles off two more wins. Is that crazy that they go 4-12 and totally ruin their top three pick position?
Here's what I'll say. I think we'll learn a lot about the Giants this Thursday. If this is a team that could potentially go, you know, 6-10, you know, 7-9, and kind of hurt their draft position, then we'll see if they beat the Redskins. If they do that, then this could be that team that goes 5-11, 6-10, and picking late in that top 10, pick 8, 9, or 10 or whatever.
And let's not, sorry to cut you off. Like let's also remember here that if they do rattle off those couple wins, we know that this is a talented roster. The defense is loaded with talent, right? You got Collins, yeah. You got Jenkins, you got DRC, JPP, Olivier Vernon, Damon Harrison. Them rattling off three more wins out of their next six could very well save Jerry Reese's job, which I know, at least I think a majority of our listeners, myself included, and you've said it before, we don't want anyone back next season. And no, I think McAdoo is gone regardless. This could save Jerry Reese's job if they rattle off three of the next, what would be four of their last seven games.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we could table how Jerry Reese or Ben McAdoo can save their job if this team starts rattling off some of these wins. But to me, I think, just looking at their schedule, you know, obviously still have that West Coast trip to Oakland, who's sort of like a really weird team to me. They
just fired their defensive coordinator midseason, yeah. Which, what a novel concept.
Exactly. they have two West Coast trips to Arizona and to Oakland. But to me, before we start thinking about, okay, can this team rattle off, you know, that win 5-6 games, I got to see what they do this Thursday against the Redskins. The Redskins are really banged up. They just put, I think, four starters on IR, including yep. arguably their best skill position player in Chris Thompson, the running back who runs routes like a receiver. They also put Terrell Pryor on IR and two starting linemen, and they also have their left tackle ailing with injuries too, in Trent Williams. So, you know, at this point, the Redskins, their season is sort of on life alert. The Giants could bury them like they did last year in Week 17. But at the same time, just like the Giants have sort of something to play for, the Redskins, outside of the fact they're playing for their season, you know, Kirk Cousins, he's trying to make a lot of money.
You're taking the words right out of my mouth here, because I brought up how some of the Giants players, they're playing for future contracts, they're playing for incentives. Kirk Cousins is trying to get paid $25, $30 million by the Jets next season, guys. He's going for a new contract on a new team. And then, you know, I'll even counter what I said before, they could rattle off these wins, right? you know, you could have David Johnson coming back for the Cardinals game if they decide to bring him off IR. And you have the Cowboys, who are probably still fighting for a wild card spot in 3 weeks. So not going to be easy to get these wins, thankfully. But what we're just saying is that it's possible.
Yeah, I think from 2 weeks ago to today, the remaining games on the Giants' schedule probably don't look as difficult. Just because what their opponents have gone through, you know, with Zeke in the suspension and the injuries, you know, to some of the players in Dallas, to what the Raiders have certainly turned into, and the Redskins obviously just losing body left and right. But by no means, you know, my point is, by no means is beating the Chiefs mean that the Giants are going to beat the Redskins,
right?
The Cowboys, you know,
it's any given Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think any time, you know, anything can happen on any day, and we shouldn't really be surprised at what we see in the league anymore. But, you know, just putting on your thinking hat for a second, I mean, they only scored 12 points.
Yeah.
You know, they might be getting healthy on defense, but offensively, you know, Odell Beckham ain't walking through the
right.
They're still running this broken offense with Ben McAdoo. I still don't think they have a receiver not named Odell or Sterling Shepard go over 100. And, oh, by the way, Sterling Shepard is dealing with migraines.
Which is slightly concerning, I might add.
Very concerning. That could potentially lead him to missing
the rest of the season.
The rest of the season, but, you know, the Redskins game. So, you know, I would slow down a bit. I know fans are sort of freaking out. I don't know if you fall into that category, Ethan.
Not entirely, because I do realize that this team is still bad, and yeah, bad teams always find a way to lose.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens with the Redskins. I think if they beat the Redskins, then we got to, you know, it's kind of the phrase I've been using all week. We got to create a dialogue here.
Right.
Because then we have to discuss, okay, can this team kind of win more than, you know, the 3-4 games that we sort of thought that they would max out at?
Right.
Yeah.
So let's circle back to the Chiefs game for a little bit. We sort of touched on the defense. Any other notes that you want to bring up on the defense before we talk the offense, specifically the offensive line?
The only thing I think I'll say about the defense is, even though Travis Kelce had over 100, he didn't score a touchdown.
He also threw an interception.
That was the most bizarre.
Bizarre.
Shane Vereen, Travis Kelce threw a pick. Alex Smith. Threw a pick.
Yep.
Dave Smith had an interception.
And so Eli Pickless.
And Eli Manning did not throw an interception. And kudos to Roger Lewis for that catch. That was
great catch.
Great catch, yeah.
I did, on another offensive note, our good friend Ryan Smith, you could follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Smith. I DM'd him. This is sort of transitioning more into offensive line talk. There's been a lot of praise for Ereck Flowers. I don't know what the snap streak is. He hasn't allowed a sack since like week two or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Chad Wheeler getting a lot of praise. So I was curious. I'm about to read off the top five snap to release for quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Derek Carr, 2.27 seconds. I think that's less a product of the offensive line, more a product of, I mean, his receivers stink and he's having an off year. He had the back injury, right? Then there's right. Brian Hoyer, 2.4 seconds, terrible team. Eli, coming in at number three, 2.44 seconds. Carson Palmer, 2.45. And number five actually shocked me a little bit, considering, I mean, I think their offensive line's pretty good. They've got obviously one of the best running backs as well. Big Ben at 2.46. So he surprised me a little bit. But the point is, Eli is still third in the league, snap to release. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it's praise of Ereck Flowers. Maybe it's just not praise, but not disappointment of Ereck Flowers, right?
It's kudos. It's kudos. To
sure.
Him.
Let's not forget they had to change the entire offense because of how bad the offensive line was. They had to make sure that the ball got out of Eli's hands quickly to prevent the pressures and to prevent the sacks. So just because he hasn't surrendered a sack, I think his technique has improved a little bit. I'll give him that. More product of the offensive scheme than it is of the overall improvement of the line.
I'll say this, I watched a lot of tape over the last, yep, you know, 72 hours, you know, maybe even more. I went from college to back to the pros to back to college to back to the pros. I watched a lot of Ereck Flowers, and I watched him specifically in this game against the Chiefs, just because there's been a lot of talk about, you know, him showing signs of improvement. His technique has gotten a lot better. Here's sort of how I kind of charted it with Ereck Flowers. And I'll get into the whole Eli getting the ball out and how, you know, how I view that when it comes to the offensive line. You know, first of all, Ereck Flowers has been abysmal this first 2 years. We know that.
Yep.
This season, there have been times where he's been abysmal early on. And then what we saw is that, okay, now he's winning his battles, but they're ugly. Tilting his head forward, blocking with his head, getting away with holding penalties, mm-hmm. Bad footwork. Like, we're seeing it, but we're not seeing it like a natural offensive tackle. We see a guy just doing it ugly. Now we're slowly seeing, okay, now he's doing it with technique. Now he, even though we still see the head tilting forward, we're still seeing that proper hand placement. We're still seeing the smooth footwork. We're still seeing that. Now, when you talk about, okay, Eli's getting the ball out quickly in this offensive scheme to get the ball out quickly because of the offensive line, what I try to do is, and this is something that any of us can do, I just use my judgment. Yes, Eli gets the ball out at a really fast pace, but what I do is when I watch Ereck Flowers or when I watch, you know, someone on the offensive line, I say, okay, Eli gets the ball out. Where is Ereck Flowers on his block? And I try to play hypotheticals. If asked, could he hold his block for another half a second to a second? And if he could, then I'll chalk that up into a success. So those are the kind of stuff I look at with Ereck Flowers. And I do think he has improved. Now, I sort of wrote out what I think the Giants should do going forward. But the number one thing between now and the end of the season with Flowers is, okay, can you continue to make those strides without taking a step back? Now, I don't put much weight into the whole sack streak because, like you said, he's getting the ball out quickly. But what I want to see from Flowers is, okay, where is your technique? Do you believe in your technique, or are you just winning based on your strength? Are you just winning based on the fact that, you know, you're getting away with holding? So I'm very cautious, but I'm cautiously optimistic when it comes to Flowers, because this isn't just a scenario that he's, you know, it's a rare occurrence. We're starting to see him gradually get better. And I think as you know, from my perspective as a fan, I'm not sitting here saying, you know, that's it, Ereck Flowers turned the corner, he's the guy. But I will say this, as he continues to make strides, the Giants should continue to give him more opportunities. And as opportunities, I mean compete for a left tackle job in the future. Maybe this is me jumping the gun, but that's just me saying, you know, have a spot on the roster, possibly playing himself into a second contract. But before we get there, over these next six games, we got to see him continue to make these strides, continue to win with this technique rather than winning ugly that we've seen early on this season.
That's fair. I think if we sort of backtrack a little bit, even to the preseason, I think both of us were upset primarily at the fact that there was no competition mm-hmm. for the left tackle job, and he was essentially handed the job, right? Mm-hmm. I think that depending on who's general manager next season, there will be competition. Now, I'll be honest here.
Even if Jerry is somehow back, there's still going to be competition there.
Of course. I say of course. We hope.
We hope. But
now, right. Now, there are some other guys who have been playing really well and I think have, I don't want to say won jobs for next season on the offensive line, but should leave fans optimistic. Now, yep. I'm talking primarily Brett Jones. Mm-hmm. He has played very well. The fact that due to the cap constraints and the fact that the Giants will need to find a way to sign, if they want to, both Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg, I think they can afford to let Richburg go. That's assuming that Pugh wants to come back. He's going to be offered a massive contract. And let's be real here. Why does he want to come back to a team coming off a dismal season when he could shop around the league? And we know offensive line is a premium and the free agent market's going to be weak, right? I've been hypothesizing about Nate Solder coming over here. Nate Solder is nothing special, right? He's been in the league. I think he's been a starter for 6 years. He's been serviceable to good, I would say. And if someone like Justin Pugh hits the market, right, I've been sort of touting him as like the our generation's David Deal, where he can play pretty much every position on the offensive line. He can play tackle very well and guard very well. He's going to get paid. So I think Brett Jones, you know, they can afford to let Richburg walk and keep Jones there. DJ Fluker, another one, who the guy just loves football. You know, he was disappointed he didn't get the opportunity to start earlier in the season when they brought him in. I think that he's a guy. He played very well the last two games, unfortunately injured, maybe out for the season with that toe injury. I think that, listen, nothing should be handed to anyone except for Justin Pugh if he's back. But there's sort of a foundation here where fans can sort of start to look and maybe get a little excited that if they spend a high draft pick on a offensive line, right? When I say a high pick, a lot of people freak out when I say, oh, let's take Saquon with our pick. Let's take a quarterback. And they say, well, what about the offensive line? Guys, we can spend a second or third round pick on a very good quality startable offensive lineman in the draft. So it doesn't have to be first, second or third, bring in a couple free agent reinforcements. I think that this can be fixed.
Absolutely can be fixed. And Chad Wheeler, I thought, did some good things. He also did some not good things. I mean, his first game, he's an undrafted rookie going against, you know, one of the premier pass rushers in Justin Houston. I walked out of that game encouraged. I mean, I'm not walking out there saying, oh, Chad Wheeler guaranteed right tackle for the New York Giants for the next 10 years. But I am now looking forward to watching him against the Redskins. So, yeah, and Brett Jones is another guy. Can he, you know, continue this run that he's on? And can he continue to make those strides? But yeah, absolutely, there's something to look forward to. I think, you know, as a whole, the offensive line probably played their best game of the season. There were two, three instances where Eli Manning had a lot of time to throw the ball. There was a lot of instances where, and this is sort of my issue with the Giant, with this Ben McAdoo offense, and this is what infuriates me, is
can I guess what you're going to say?
Sure.
Okay. And this might not be it. Is it that they throw short of the sticks like every third down?
Yeah. And when Eli Manning has a clean pocket,
yeah.
I mean, the guy has a clean pocket, and you know, whether it's, I sort of put the blame both on Eli and with the way the offense is, more so the way the offense is, but you know, it's just throwing to the first option. I mean, like, we need to go through our reads, and he has a clean pocket, and it's just like, you know, drive killing throws that they throw short of the sticks, and you know, on third and 10, they're throwing 6 yards. So that's one thing that really pisses me off, and it sort of gets in the way of us being able to really see the offensive line as a whole and also be able to sort of give them the proper credit, because the ball just comes out right away. Not every time is the pocket collapsing on Eli Manning.
Yep. And one last note from me on the offensive line, and I think it's something that's going to be interesting, I think more people should take note of, is, right, Chad Wheeler, he did some good things, he did some bad things. I think what's going to be really interesting for him is that, right, he's going to get the another start at right tackle, but this time without DJ Fluker. So now that John Jalapio is getting the start at right guard, let's see how well he does, right? They're coming off a short week. This is going to be Jalapio's first start. Let's see if he can sort of develop that chemistry on short notice with Jalapio that we saw that he had with Fluker last week.
Right, absolutely. And I think DJ Fluker, to me, has earned that second contract. I would love to see him back. I really, really do like him a lot. One thing I want to say about Justin Pugh, and I think, listen, I like Justin Pugh a lot. I think he is definitely worthy of the contract he's going to get. I'm a little bit reluctant when it comes to him simply because of the injury history. Uh-huh.
Especially the back injury.
Yeah. What I think, I don't know if the Giants have to look at what their cap situation is, but I would like them to be able to, you know, lock him up long term on a deal that benefits both him and the Giants, obviously. But, you know, nothing is perfect. We know the business side of it. Maybe the franchise tag is in place. I don't know what the franchise tag is for a guard or a tackle, but maybe that's in place. Maybe you put the franchise tag on him and then work out a long-term deal.
Now, that's going to be interesting. Do you know what the rule is in regards to franchise tagging a guy who's played multiple positions on the line. I obviously they'd prefer to use the guard tag on him, and that is where he played most of the season. But do you think he's got a? I don't know what the rule is, but
I would have to go back and look. But I know there was a similar situation with Jimmy Graham in New Orleans,
right? Because he wanted the wide receiver tag,
right? And I think it comes down to where you are lined up the majority of your, I don't know if it's the previous season or the season before.
Regardless, it would work in favor of the Giants because he would be a guard.
Right. And even hypothetically speaking, let's say he's able to come back and play the rest of the year. Well, the way Chad Wheeler is, you know, looks like he's playing, maybe Justin Pugh's back at left guard. And if that's the case, then yeah, like you said, it'll continue to play in the Giants' favor. And I don't know what the price difference is. Or the tag, you know, differential is between a tackle and a guard. I assume a tackle would be more, but yeah, you know, that's one option the Giants do have. But I think when it comes to Pugh, I think if it really comes down to, you know, the Giants not having any leverage here because they don't have a replacement for Justin Pugh right. In-house, you know, so even if they were to go out and use a top pick on an lineman, that's still one lineman. And they're still going to need Justin Pugh going forward. And to me, it wouldn't make no sense to not, you know, re-sign him. But there is a little bit of reluctancy there just because of his injury history. But again, you know, I think the Giants are in a tough spot given what their offensive line is.
Agree. All right. Any other notes on the game that you want to touch on before we get into some draft talk?
No, you know, I think we pretty much nailed everything. Wasn't pretty, but they got the job done.
It's never going to be, at least the rest of the season.
It's not going to be pretty.
All right. Draft talk. Let's get into it. We're talking quarterbacks primarily this week. We are on, I think, the same page. We were speaking earlier today that we're both Rosen and Mayfield fans. I think you lean more
toward Baker Mayfield, and I sort of lean more toward Josh Rosen.
Correct, but I think the consensus we came to is, despite that, neither of us would be upset if the other was the pick.
Yeah.
Correct. Absolutely. Okay. So what do you want to talk about specifically in regards to these quarterbacks? Because I know we've each been watching some tape on them.
Right. I did watch that USC. UCLA game pretty closely, and I came away.
So did Jerry Reese.
Was there, and I know a lot of people are sort of like freaking out about that. Like, oh my god, well, why is he there? Well, the way this sort of works is if the Giants clean house, they're not going to have a lot of time to new GM, new scouting, new, you know, front office. Oh, by the way, go build a big board, you know, for the upcoming draft that's going to be 8 weeks away. They don't have much time for that. So whether we like it or not, the Giants could be using a lot of this scouting team and a lot of, you know, Jerry Reese's input when it comes to drafting. But that's just the way it's going to work. Not saying they're going to draft as if Jerry Reese is drafting, but listen, he's going to have a heavy hand in building the Giants board. With that said, I'm not surprised that the Giants had a lot of people there. I think the consensus is that, you know, the Giants are really, really high on Rosen and Darnold. Those are their two guys. Been pretty quiet when it comes to Baker Mayfield. We haven't heard a lot. They might have had people watching Mayfield closely. But when it comes to those two quarterbacks, Darnold and Rosen, my biggest takeaway is I think – with Darnold, I do like Darnold as a prospect. I just like Rosen and Mayfield more. With that said, I think with the proper coaching and the proper, you know, with the proper team, Darnold could potentially be the better quarterback of the entire class. But right now, I mean, you sort of see who's more pro ready, and I think Rosen is that, and then Baker Mayfield. You know, what he brings to the table. I mean, there are NFL caliber throws that he's making. I know people are so attached to the fact that, oh, you know, he's playing in that, you know, Big 12 style where it's just throw, 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 and that's where the numbers are coming from. But throw the numbers out that window. When you watch Baker Mayfield, you can see those are NFL caliber throws. He's fitting it into NFL windows, and that's, you know, those are eye-popping things. Rosen, on the other hand, does a really, really good job you know, going through his reads. You know, UCLA is not really talented, and Rosen is doing a great job of, you know, again, making NFL caliber throws. Definitely has the size, definitely has the arm strength. I would lean toward Rosen just because I like his arm strength more. And even though I'm not really high on size, I do like the size that Rosen brings to the table. And in the cold games in December in MetLife, I do like Rosen making with his arm strength. He is the prototypical New York Giant quarterback. And as far as, you know, making plays outside the pocket, I think he can do that. I don't think he's a walking Eli Manning. I think he's more athletic. So, you know, a lot of positives I took away. But I walk away from last Saturday, you know, with the same quarterback order that I went into.
Fair enough.
Rosen, Mayfield, and Darnold.
Sure. For me, it's Mayfield, Rosen, Darnold. I think you've done a little bit more research than I have. Something that I retweeted earlier today that you guys can go check out. I know I tweet a lot, so you'll have to scroll a little bit, is the accuracy. Someone, draft scout, whose name escapes me, I'm going to try to find it while I talk, has charted the accuracy of all of the projected top guys. So it's Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, and Lamar Jackson. And what the results show, Baker Mayfield is by far, the most accurate in this class. That's big for me. Another thing is the personality. I am just enamored by Mayfield-like guys who bring the energy, who are brash. They're not afraid to grab their nuts on the sideline. I love that sort of personality. I think it's going to drive people nuts in New York. It's not going to drive me nuts. Obviously, he's got to cool it a little bit, but I think him and Odell on the same team is going to be electric, and it would be sort of like a nice little change, right? Eli's been sort of this quiet leader for the majority of his career. Mayfield is going to be the guy, like Strahan almost, jumping up and down in the middle of the circle, trying to pump everyone up. So to me, he's got the accuracy, he's got the intangibles. The size doesn't bother me at all. You look around the league, right? There's other guys who aren't that tall, who still fit the bill of an NFL quarterback, who are amazing, right? Russell Wilson, Drew Brees. So for me, it's Mayfield, it's Rosen. I've been a big Lamar Jackson fan for the last two seasons. I think he's unbelievable. I think he gets a bad rap because of his mobility, which is like a weird thing to say. He's not a run first quarterback by any means, right? He throws the ball, and if things happen to go to shit, okay, he'll run, and he's very, very good at it. A lot of people don't think that's going to translate well to the NFL. I disagree, as long as he knows how to protect himself. Another guy who I mentioned to you, who's going to be a later round pick, Will Greer out of West Virginia.
Suffered a nasty finger injury. I saw that live.
Basically, his finger went from midnight to 9 or 3 p.m. You guys can look it up. It's gruesome. Undergoing hand surgery, probably done for the season. Got an unbelievable arm. The thing that I notice when I watch him is that he tends to hold on to the ball for a little bit too long, that he's not going to be able to do in the NFL. But another guy who I like late. So it's weird. It's a weird, exciting time for Giants fans. I think regardless, I think Eli's going to be the starter next year. He has played well down the stretch, and depending on the personnel decisions, both player and coach, I think he's going to be able to do really, really good things next season. So, you know, don't get me wrong, there's going to be competition, but I think Eli bridging the gap to a Rosen or a Mayfield could be an amazing thing.
Or Darnold.
We were speaking about this, like he's the most Giants draft pick, and he's like the one that we like the least, just because dilly dilly, it's the Giants way.
The thing with Sam Darnold is, and the one thing I've learned about these type of prospects is, talk yourself into liking him because he might be the pick.
Right, exactly. you might as well.
Yeah, but Baker Mayfield, I didn't touch on this, but the whole crotch grab, I think that was, you know, that was a little over the line. You know, when it comes to these type of things, I do like edgy. I do like that. I do like, you know, emotions. I don't like watching robots, and that's no offense to Eli Manning, but I do like emotions from players. With that said, you know, some of the stuff you do can lead to, you know, guys in the NFL, even guys in college that we're seeing, you know, they could target you, they could try to, you know, hit you hard, and that can lead to injury. And
So, I mean, let's keep in mind, and not to be like all elementary school, you know, he started it, but Kansas not shaking his hand and then taking really late cheap shots at him in the game. He's got a ton. I feel like we're basically talking about Odell. We love the fire.
Yeah.
Just a notch, right? Like, talk all you want, celebrate, get in their face. Just like, you know, maybe grab not your crotch next time. Maybe grab one ball instead of both. I don't know.
And with that said, with Rosen though, you know, he's got some stuff
to some character concerns.
When people say he kind of, the one thing I remember, I talked to somebody about this, you know, I think over the weekend, he said Rosen likes to talk the truth a little too much.
Yes.
He likes to talk what's on his mind, and you know, playing in New York,
that's going
to
be a problem.
They love you because you'll talk the truth, and you'll give them headlines, and they'll keep sticking the microphone in your face. And at the same time, they'll be, you know, taking your words and turning them around and sort of make you into something that you're not. But with that said, we're sort of on the same page. I think our ranking of quarterbacks is sort of similar, 1 to 3. And didn't really change after 1 week. We'll see as the college football season goes on. I will say this, over time, all three quarterbacks have all played much better than they did in the season. So this, you know, there's still some football left, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think it is an exciting time for Giant fans.
I mean, exciting and weird. We haven't really had to have this conversation over the last, 12 seasons.
I've never had this conversation.
Yeah.
Because back in 04, I was sort of like, you know, I didn't know anything about those three quarterbacks. I just know they went, what school they go to. I didn't know, right. You know, well, I think this one's going to be better than the other.
Now, 12 years ago, I'm 12 years old.
Yeah.
There you go.
I couldn't sit at a computer past 9 o'clock.
Yeah. That there was no film to watch on all these guys, or at least readily available.
Was YouTube even around then?
I think it might have just been in its infancy, so probably not as, because I know there's some videos from like 06 up there.
We pointed, you didn't have, you know, catch 22 videos of Eli Manning or all 22 videos of Eli Manning.
I didn't have Twitter to have all these scouts break down stuff for me.
Exactly.
People charting accuracy and whatnot. All right. So that's draft talk. Let's move on to the Skins game. I will hopefully be, I mean, I say this, but I'm obviously going to be awake and jiffing the game, passed out from tryptophan and booze. But we do have to watch. You know, months ago, this is like a premier game, right? Giants are on the up and up. Redskins are probably still good.
Odell versus Josh Norman. Janoris Jenkins versus Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
Now it's
the primetime game and the worst of the three. With that being said, let's get into it. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be picking the Skins to win. I just don't know what to expect after last week.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Cousins is playing for the dollar bill. The Redskins season is on life alert. They have a lot of injuries, put a lot of guys on IR. Their offensive line is banged up. The Giants' offensive line is banged up. You know, if you're looking for some excitement, I don't know where it's going to come from.
There's very few, I'll say this, storylines for the game, right? There's no really exciting player for the Giants that you're going to watch, right? The diehards are going to be looking at the offensive line. They're going to be looking at Chad Wheeler and Ereck Flowers. For the casual fan, I mean, that's it. It's going to be Kirk Cousins. Maybe if you're a Redskins fan, you're excited to see Josh Doctson go up against, you know, Jack Rabbit.
There really is not a lot to look forward to. I think tickets are going as low as $7. So if you're like me, who's in this area and want to get out and go to the game. Why you would, I don't know. I'd rather spend time with my family. But by all means, you can get them for $7, $10, $20.
I think I'll say this. I would rather be not that I've ever done this, nor will I ever. I would rather be getting in line for Black Friday than go to the game.
Yeah, And that's something I would do too. And I've never gotten in line for Black Friday.
Never.
So I already know that I would rather do that over than go to this game.
Yeah.
Specifically the fact that FedEx Field is an absolute disaster. I know a lot of people have mixed opinions on MetLife, but I had no problem getting out of MetLife Stadium when I go there.
You have, yeah, I mean, listen, you're from the area. You can speak more on the stadium than I can.
It's, I mean, listen, it makes the whole MetLife Stadium experience like heaven. I was in FedEx Field for the Raider game. I think early in the season, might have been week 3 or 4. I don't remember exactly. I was there, had box seats, got there. Takes you about I live about maybe 20 minutes away from the stadium. So it took me about half hour when I got to this. It took me a half hour to get to the stadium. It took me a 45 minutes to park my car. And I had a parking pass too. So
yikes.
If you don't have a parking pass, you got to park in cash parking. I think they charge you $45. Daniel Snyder is, one of the worst owners in the league. You want to talk about incompetent owners. I mean, Daniel Snyder is that. You've got to park, pay $45 for cash parking and walk almost a mile. And by the way, if it's bad weather, I'm just sharing an experience. If it's bad weather, they don't shovel the sidewalks. So just heads up on that. But, the stadium is just an absolute disaster to get in, to get out. And the experience is not really there. The stadium isn't really nice. The team really isn't that good, and Thanksgiving. I mean, good luck. I mean, if anyone's going to the game,
God bless you.
Yeah, man. I know some people talked to me and said they were going. I was like, oh, they couldn't pay me to go.
Couldn't pay me.
No way.
It's so sad that that's all we really have to talk about in regards to the upcoming game.
Let's talk about Thanksgiving. What are you looking forward to the most?
Just the holiday in general, or what?
Yeah, just the holiday in general. Forget about the Giants. I know this is a Giant weekly podcast, but Thanksgiving.
Can I say something controversial?
Sure.
I really don't think turkey's that good.
Come on.
I really don't. I mean, listen, it's not even in my top three meats. I'm way more excited for the sides and the dessert and the booze and sitting on the couch all day. Like even stuffing doesn't really get me going. Like, I don't know.
When it comes to turkey, I think if we ate it more on the regular, we probably wouldn't like it either. People don't really eat turkey all the time.
That's fair. You know, maybe like turkey meatballs or like a turkey burger or something like that, but I don't even eat that still.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, listen, I love Thanksgiving, family, football.
Don't get me wrong. I love the the atmosphere, and I love getting started with the holidays. I'm a big Christmas music super early guy. So yeah. I'm definitely going to be having the Christmas music on. That's really it for me.
I don't celebrate Christmas, but I do love going out and seeing Christmas lights and seeing, even shit like when you go to the grocery store and you got the guy ringing the bell for the Salvation Army. I mean, I love it all.
Yeah.
Best of the year, in my opinion, especially if you live in an area that has, four seasons. So you go from that fall.
There you go.
It's a beautiful time, and for me, just looking forward to spending time with the families and having fun football.
Yeah, don't let the Giants ruin your Thanksgiving. Because
here's the thing: when it came to the Giants, like when the schedule first came out, I looked. I'm like, oh god, Redskins Thanksgiving. I'm gonna be tempted to go to that game.
Yep.
I'm really not looking forward to people running their mouth about Odell and Josh Norman. And all my I was not looking forward to that. But now I'm just like, I don't care. There's no stress. I'm like, then you're thinking, oh, man, I hope they don't ruin my day and they don't ruin my Thanksgiving. It's going to be a big game late in the season. We're probably going to need that win.
That's true.
Yeah, now I'm just like, oh, hey, Redskins, do you want to beat us? Kirk, you want to go for 300?
Yeah.
You might guess. I'm What time is Baker Mayfield playing? Is he playing on Friday or Saturday? Yeah. That's what I'm worried about. it's a fun time. I like that statement though. He really died right into Thanksgiving by calling turkey overrated.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure I'm gonna have like a number of listeners be like, "Are you crazy?"
I like that transition.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know how to get the people going.
Yes, you do.
In terms of questions, I don't think we really got too many good ones. Shout out Nick Becht and Yvonne Rosari, who gave us a couple questions. We already touched on one of Nick's in terms of, is it realistic they win 5 games this year? Yeah, I mean, listen, it wouldn't shock me, unfortunately.
I need to say yes. If they beat the Redskins, then absolutely, but I'm not ready to say
Well, actually, all right, so shout out to Nick, because he actually brings up a good point that I didn't think of, was the Philly game. If they've already clinched, they could be resting all their starters.
But they're still only a game up on the Saints, so they could be playing for
home field.
What is that, week 16 or week 17? I know week 17 they play the Skins.
Let me see.
I think that's a week 15 game.
Oh, true. So, yeah, no, never mind. That's way too early then. Yeah. Okay, so that's not going to happen. I was under the impression that was like a week 17 game.
Yeah, no. Luckily for them, they got the Cardinals and the Redskins to close up the season, so there's not going to be no resting players. They might be not good players, but there won't be any resting players.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much it. We have any other miscellaneous talk? We did Thanksgiving.
Who's your MVP in the league so far?
Ooh, that's a good question. That is a really good question. I don't want to say Carson Wentz. He's definitely in the consideration. It's got to be like him and Brady, right?
Yeah, I tend to lean more toward Tom Brady, but I mean, you look at what Russell Wilson is doing down there in Seattle. I mean, that team is so... Oh,
dude, he's so good. It really is a shame the roster they've surrounded him with.
And listen, Atlanta gave that game... I don't know how Blair Walsh is still in the NFL.
It's crazy.
That dude is so garbage.
When they were driving down the field for the final thing, I was like, I mean, it doesn't matter because he's going to miss. And he missed.
And Pete Carroll, Pete Carroll had a horrible coaching performance. He's been having a lot of those recently, but you know, Pete Carroll's awful coaching. First of all, the fake field goal attempt, I mean, what the hell are you doing?
That was horrendous.
And then, you know, challenging a play that Stevie Wonder could see. That, I mean, the ball hit the – you could hear the ball hit the ground.
Yeah.
You forget about seeing it. I mean, he challenges that, and then it costs them a timeout that they could have used late in the game. But I mean, dude, Russell Wilson, these type of plays that he makes, that one play he scrambled around, threw it up, and Jimmy Graham dropped a touchdown pass.
Yep.
And those are type of the plays that if the receiver, Russell Wilson did his part, but if the tight end makes that catch, those are plays that builds, you know, nowadays it builds those MVP resumes, but it seems like Russell Wilson is making those MVP like plays, but because the team isn't winning, you know, it's hard to put him in there, but I mean, when you look at most valuable player, if he's able to lead this team to the playoffs and playing the way he is, it's hard for me not to put him in that consideration.
Matt Harmon on Twitter earlier today, he asked, could any QB even come close to the level of success Russell Wilson has in the conditions of Seattle's offense? And the answer is Aaron Rodgers, and that's it.
Yeah. I think you can see by watching Green Bay that Aaron Rodgers is Green Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing I don't want to hear Packer fans talk about Jordy Nelson being one of the best receivers in the league.
No.
I'm done with that. We're done with that.
He's good. He's not over. He's good. Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers makes him elite. Devontae Adams, good player, not elite. Ty Montgomery, the running back, listen, you're a receiver.
Yeah.
You know, playing running back. Aaron Rodgers is Green Bay, and he should get a $200 million contract.
Yeah.
He won't get it.
But he's the only reason McCarthy has a job. The only reason Ben McAdoo is a head coach.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Listen, he should get, like that Green Bay, just give it to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Just like here, Aaron, no money can suffice for what you do for us. Here is the entire town. Like, it's your property now. You know, we just live here.
Yeah.
But it's all yours. What's happened to Green Bay? I thought at least they could, you know, stay competitive, stay in the playoff hunt, and maybe Rodgers can come back and sort of lead them into the playoffs, but that's not looking like it's going to happen. Minnesota's an interesting story to me because Case Keenum is playing really well, and they got Teddy Bridgewater healthy, and for some reason we just keep overshadowing these wins. But eventually, you know, that could be a team that we could talk about as well in the NFC if we're not talking about them already because they have that defense and they have a really good home field advantage. New Orleans, you know, Drew Brees.
That's why New Orleans is our only hope in the NFC, and they need to get home field so that they can beat the Eagles.
I had a dream the other night that Teddy Bridgewater came back and beat the Lions on Thanksgiving. They benched Case Keenum in the middle of the game, and Teddy Bridgewater. Don't tell me why. Don't ask me why I had that dream. I can't explain. But Teddy Bridgewater came back and he led them. But for some reason, that game was played in Minnesota, which is odd. And I was there. It was weird. I know.
This is a weird dream.
I'm not making it up either, I swear. I don't lie about my dreams.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So I'm holding out hope that Teddy Bridgewater can come back and challenge the Eagles. I think I was thinking about teams that could challenge the Eagles.
Yeah, that makes it a little more reasonable.
And it was Sunday night, and they just whooping up on the Cowboys, and I just said, God, please, give me a sign that this team will win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they look good, unfortunately.
They do.
All right, anything else?
That's it.
That's all I got.
All I got. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, please do. Remember, subscribe, follow us on Twitter, and we'll speak to you guys after Turkey Day.
Yes, we will.
Peace.
Peace.